Welcome to Talking Fußball Fantasy, your source for all things official fantasy Bundesliga, with player picks as mind-blowing as a Wataru Endo brace, fancy advice as heartbreaking as a last-gasp Alexander Zorlot header, and two pundits not looking forward to navigating this week's standalone fixtures. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. My name is James Thurgood. This is Talking Fußball Fantasy Season 4, Match Day 24. And joining me, as always, the fantasy Fußball god himself, Flo Reinecke. Flo, switching your crystal ball on and off seemed to work a treat.
Yeah, it's always the best strategy, I guess. Yes. You can put that to all situations in life, I guess. Let's take a step and it's going to work next time.
Yeah, but that Bayern curse worked out nicely for Werder on Friday night.
Yeah, really. I was so pleased. I mean, the bickering afterwards, it didn't stop for days. But yeah, all the sweeter.
Yeah, that's it. It does actually make it all the sweeter in the end, doesn't it? Oh, come on, let's crack on, because we've got some listener questions in part one to get through today. And we do want to keep things short and snappy, because we're actually recording a little bit later than normal based on the fact that I had to make my way back from Leipzig today, and it took a little longer than anticipated.
Yeah, and I was hungover. So, it's always that we both are busy.
What were you celebrating last night then, if you were hungover?
No, I just want to say something.
too much to if people come, you know.
I was looking after the kids, which is like it's work.
I can imagine after that feels like a hangover a little bit as well. I can only imagine, and I won't have to imagine much longer potentially either. But let's crack on with some listener questions, and we'll start with one from @Dykes to watch out for, and he is asking, on the back of your crystal ball working so well, Flo, he's asking what your hot take from this week's fixtures are after nailing Werder Eintracht.
I don't want to force this. I don't have a really hot take. So I'm not believing that Dortmund will win at Munich, which would be like a natural fit for a hot take. But I don't think that's going to happen. In a fantasy sense, my hot take would be like there are two teams I'm really interested in, and that's Hertha and Schalke, which might sound odd, but especially Hertha, I have a lot of interest in. So my hot take would be that Hertha will create a lot of fantasy goodness this match day.
Yeah, you're forging a reputation. You can't shy away from it too much. But I think, you're right. This is a tough weekend to pick a really big hot take on, so I can understand.
I mean, I'm not sure how hot it will be to say that Cologne will get a win against Bremen. It's not like it's lukewarm, probably. It's not hot. Well,
and after beating Frankfurt, you think Bremen are going to drop points against Köln now, huh?
Yeah. It's like the reverse logic of last week. Bremen coming off that win against Frankfurt, Köln coming off the loss at Munich, but actually not playing that poorly. But in the end, sometimes these games just get away from you when you're playing at Munich. And like historically, Bremen has a historic bad record playing at Cologne. So yeah, I have some interest in the Cologne side of the ball on Sunday. We'll talk about that later, but...
Well, that's it. I was going to say, you have interest in both sides. It's a clash of your two great loves in the Bundesliga, Köln against Bremen. So yeah, there's one that pulls on the heartstrings.
I wouldn't, big love is like, that's stretching it too much for Cologne, but I definitely have some sympathy for Cologne.
There you go. Okay, let's move on. @RonanMurphy, he's asking, Flo, can I sack my entire staff based on this season's results so far? And I don't know where Ronan is in the standings, but I can only assume it hasn't quite gone the way he'd hoped.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's time now to play the blame game, James. That's what I would say. And we have a saying in Germany that, like, the fish starts to smell at the head first. So maybe he should take, he probably should rather take a look in the mirror than like putting the blame on his inferiors.
That's the best head coaches do that, right? They protect their players from any of the blame by shouldering it all themselves, right?
Yeah.
And maybe that's why it's gone wrong. Maybe the players are just feeling too much pressure from the bench, and that's why they're not performing on a regular basis. All I need to know now is who's in Ronan's team so that I don't pick them as well. That's what we need to be doing. But a couple of fun ones to throw in there at the beginning. Let's get into some actual like player picks and stuff like that, because we want to help you guys out, because this is a tough weekend to navigate. And on that note, a question from @SprecherFußball, which actually makes me think think of the old Talking Fußball podcast when we used to do a segment called Sprechen Sie Fußball. So whether that was inspired by it or not, I don't know, but a great handle all the same. He says, hi guys, two questions. One, he says, I'm not expecting Endo to repeat his matchday 23 form against Frankfurt this week, but your thoughts on budget midfielders in his price range for this week. And I have to say, Flo, if that question, if I'm reading that right, that means he picked Wataru Endo last week.
What a humble brag.
Which is incredible.
Is
two goals, well, two assists. Yeah.
That's a nice way to sneak in. Hey guys, what I'm going to do with this guy who just picked up nearly 30 points and no one has.
Yeah, I casually have in my team.
I'm in this kerfuffle. What should I do? So kudos to Sprecher Fußball. Nice way to insert a humble brag. I have some guys under 10 million that I would be interested in. I think Haidara could be a good option. He's a bit risky because he's not 100% to start. But because of the suspension of Sabitzer, I honestly expect Haidara to be in a starting lineup. And for 9 million, like, he's a steal. And the matchup at Freiburg is better than perceived. We'll talk about that later. Marius Wolf, Cologne, 4.5 million. Actually, like, there are three Cologne midfielders I like. There's Wolf for 4.5 million. He might play as a striker. We're not sure about that. That could be true also for Duda. He's 8.6. And head-to-head, I would prefer Duda. But if we take the price into consideration, I think, like, it's very close between Wolf and Duda. And the guy in the middle there is Elvis Rajpachai for 5.8 million, who's also capable of having pretty good games. If you don't, like, I haven't mentioned, I mean, Yunus would be the first guy to mention, but I'm pretty sure that you have him in your squad. If not, like, I wouldn't think twice and bring in Yunus for 7.8 million. Find, like, the 1 million you have to spend up from Endo to Yunus. You definitely have to find it somewhere. And another guy in this range would be Yannick Gerhardt for 7.6 million. He was disappointed in the last few games, but we know that he can perform, and the matchup at Hoffenheim isn't the worst either. So, yeah.
No, definitely not. I think, yeah, consistency. That's what we just need to see from Yannick Gerhardt to make him a really, really good pick in this game. But he's certainly not a bad one by any stretch of the imagination. I think you've got some great options there. The second part of Sprecher Fußball's question is he's asking for the best Sancho Guerrero replacements for this match day. So we're talking about the higher bracket of players now. And I guess the update really with Sancho and Guerrero is that Edin Terzic said today that it could be tight for both of them, but they did come off injured in the cup game against Gladbach. The good news, I think, is that we should know before kickoff tomorrow whether they even got on the plane to Munich. So if they don't get on the plane, that makes our lives a whole lot easier, but it could mean that a lot of people have some cash to splash this weekend.
Yeah, and I would spend it in midfield. I wouldn't spend it in defense. So I don't love any high-priced defenders, even Angelino, because he had to set out the last two games, although he disagreed with the assessment that he was injured. So he got on social media and commented on Leipzig, tweeting out their starting lineup and saying that Angelino isn't in the match squad because of some muscle issues. He tweeted out that he's fine and had to delete that tweet later on. But, like, there's some miscommunications, let's put it that way. But he didn't play the last two games.
Nagelsmann said he's a player that always wants to play. He understands that. But he said we need him 100% fit. And I think that's what we want as fantasy players. But in truth, he hasn't been in the best form himself recently.
He hasn't, but, like, still, he would be the only guy I would willing to pay up for. So if we, like, and now we, like, I talked about defenders first, so let's go with the guys I like there. One I like the most is Maxi Mittelstädt of Hertha. 8.1 million is his price tag. Hertha's playing with a three-man back line. They're playing Augsburg, and Augsburg is conceding 14.3 shots per game in 2021. That's the third worst in the league. And I think that Hertha can create something here. And we know that Mittelstädt can be a part of that. And for that price tag, I think a clean sheet against Augsburg is always in the cards as well. So I really like Mittelstädt. Paulo Ottavio, a bit pricier, 9.7 million, great value. Like, he has a great, great flaw because of his challenge winning ability, which is just outstanding. And another guy I like, if you want some flexibility, would be Ismail Jakobs of Cologne, playing as a left winger, basically the same position as Mittelstädt does. And I believe that Cologne can create something against Bremen.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think the Mittelstädt pick stands out certainly, because I think it was a statistic I read recently where he, of defenders, has played the second most crosses of any defender in the Bundesliga this season. I think it's probably no surprise that Borna Sosa is the man that is top of that list. And I'm not sure, I have to be honest, whether they're counting Angelino there as a defender or not. But yeah, no, I mean, Mittelstädt in a more advanced role could be good value. And I mean, if you want a real gamble, you could maybe even look to the other wing with Difasio Seifoik over there as well, in terms of a real gamble. Mm-hmm. But the problem is he has no track record of fantasy returns, whereas Mittelstädt does. So there is a huge element of risk that comes along with that.
And Mittelstädt can like take set pieces and so on. True. We won't see that from Seifoik. So,
but I think Seifoik's only a couple of million though, right? That's the only reason I threw it out there, because off the top of my head, I think he's like super, super budget. So if you're really struggling for cash, he might be an avenue that you can go down. But Flo's about to correct me.
No, he's 7.1 million.
Okay, well then, never mind.
That's what I thought, because like they brought him in to be their starting right back. So I would have been shocked if his initial price would have like been so low.
No, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not an option if you pay up 1.1 million more and get Mittelstädt. That would be a bad choice.
100%. I had a much lower price tag in my head, but that's based on the form he's produced, not the form that he came to Hertha with. No, you're right. Okay. So yeah, okay, take that one off the table. But let's move on, because I've got another question.
No, midfielders. Central replacements. I rattle them off: Kostic, Nkunku, Arid, Rashica. These are the four guys I like the most. If you're not thinking about the price tag, and Arid and Rashica aren't even that expensive.
Okay, well then that's an interesting one to point out, because it actually works well into the next question, which isn't the one I was about to ask, incidentally, but it's from @Morkahi_Mike, who says, if Sancho isn't playing, would we consider replacing him with another Dortmund midfielder, Flo?
No, not for me. Although, I mean, we've seen that Bayern is leaky in the back. I read a stat today that in 2021, like there are three teams that are conceding 1.7 great chances, if that's the way you can translate. So clear-cut chances, I think, will be the better translation. So three teams: Schalke, Mainz, Bayern. These three have the worst records in letting the opponents get in clear-cut chances in the Bundesliga since the break of the year. So
wow,
that shows you that there's something in it. But I think that like the concentration will be much higher for Bayern when they play Dortmund than if they're playing Cologne or Bielefeld. And that's the reason why I wouldn't go out of my way to sign a Dortmund player. And that's what you would do if you replace Sancho. And I wouldn't even know who to replace him with. That's another problem, though. And that's the only reason. Maybe you can go with Reyna. He would be the only sensible option in my mind, because he's at least he's a bargain of some sort. So you get some salary relief. Definitely not a high priced option like Brandt or a player like that wouldn't pique my interest at all.
Okay, then closing part one on one last question, and it again is going to relate to midfielders, but you've mentioned a lot of names, and it was @Leo_Leroy who says, without any budget restrictions, who are your top three midfielders for the next few match days? So I'm getting you to narrow it down now to three out of the ones that you've already mentioned, Flo.
Yeah, and it's funny because I will include a guy I don't like the most for this match day, but going forward, I like him better than some other players. That's why I'm mentioning him here. I think the first guy to mention is Nkunku. He's so good. On average, involved in more than six shots per 90 minutes. That's just outstanding. Leipzig has a decent run of fixtures. Now playing at Freiburg, then it's Frankfurt at home, and then at Bielefeld. Definitely decent. Second guy is Filip Kostic, home game against Stuttgart. I expect a lot of attacking returns in that match for both sides, actually. Then traveling to Leipzig, like, that's not good. But then it's Union, home game against Union, which is also good. So I think you can leave Kostic in your squad, even for the Leipzig game. And the third guy to mention is Nadim Amiri for me, because Florian Wirtz tested positive for Corona. He's a starter now. There can be no doubt. Like, his stats are always good per minute. Like, his shot involvement is always good, but like, he's not getting enough playing time to merit a place in your fantasy team. But I think he'll get that. And like, if it's starting to click for Leverkusen, Amiri could be good. And the matchup at Gladbach, we'll talk about that, is not as bad as it might seem. And then they're playing Bielefeld, Hertha, Schalke, and Hoffenheim. So I think it's not looking too shabby for Amiri. And that will be my three guys.
Yeah, I like those picks. And Amiri certainly wants to keep an eye on, because you're right, that run of fixtures.
I mean, if Sancho is fit, Sancho has to be in here, because he's like, Sancho and Nkunku are the best midfielders in the Bundesliga right now, period.
Ooh, Kimmich? I think you may be doing Mr. Kimmich a disservice there a little bit. But yeah, in terms of fantasy players, I completely agree. Sancho and Nkunku all the way, top two, without a doubt.
Yeah, of course I'm talking fantasy.
Okay, sorry. I should always know that we're only ever talking fantasy on this show.
Well, yeah.
That's a good place to end it for part one. We'll be discussing plenty more teams and players in part two. So join us again in just a jiffy. Welcome back to part two of Talking Fußball Fantasy. Time to get our teeth stuck into those matchday 24 fixtures, starting with the Friday night game, Schalke against Mainz. Now, with people that like to preach that Friday night involvement is a good thing, it's a tricky one to preach this week, it has to be said. But Schalke, they do have a new man in charge. They got rid of Christian Groß after that dismal defeat to Stuttgart, where they just couldn't defend at all. They are, though, unbeaten in their last 9 home league games against Mainz, losing only 1 of 16 all told. So maybe, just maybe, there's some relief in the offing.
Yeah, and they won 6 straight at home against Mainz.
There you go.
That's also true.
These things, they're always meant to come to an end, though, at some point, right? You never know. It could be that typical thing of a new head coach coming in and giving a club a little push, but we haven't really seen that from Schalke, and this is their 5th attempt now, so we'll see what happens. But anyway, for Mainz, I mean, they haven't been great goal scorers themselves, so this is maybe what lends itself to not being the greatest fantasy game, when you consider the fact that their top scorers this season are Moussa Niakate and Kevin Stöger with 3 goals apiece, of course, not counting Jean-Philippe Mateta, who joined Crystal Palace. But a listener question here to start us off, Flo, and you mentioned Florian Wirtz contracting the coronavirus, and as a result he's quarantining. But at @echter_ATL_Lieber says, I need alternatives for Guerrero and Wirtz, and could likely burn another midfielder. He puts Reed Labaku in brackets, but he says, normally I lean heavily on a Friday night match to get certain starters, but looking at the match, he says, my gut says maybe stay away. Any hidden gems on Friday? What's your feeling with this one, Flo?
Yeah, like, I'm not sure if that's hidden, but I'm pretty big on Amin Arid this weekend.
Well, you brought him in last week.
I actually brought him in last week.
Yeah.
I had 12 million to spend on my last transfer, and I wanted to bring in Baumgartner, but I was just missing 500,000. Couldn't do it. And then I was like figuring out my options. No one I really love, but like, I thought bringing in Harid, I think it's possible after all that happened at Schalke, because now it's the players that have to perform after they basically did a mutiny against Christian Groß last week.
All the players that he brought in,
I thought maybe
all his transfers.
Yeah. And maybe they come out and really play with fire at Stuttgart. And that was my reasoning, and then playing at home against Mainz on Friday evening. So I think this is set up really, really nice for Amin Arid. And like, Mainz is the team that does the most challenges on average from every team is 236 challenges per game in 2021. Schalke has the least amount of challenges with 209. So in my mind, they meeting in the middle, meaning there are more challenges won to go around for Schalke than on average, less for Mainz than on average. But that means that like, Arid is winning almost 15 challenges in 90 minutes on average as it stands. And now playing against Mainz, I think that that will be even greater, which like this, this is heightening his floor. He's involved in a lot of shots. And I can see Schalke having a really good game against Mainz. They had a Mainz had a big disappointment with his loss against Augsburg. It totally botched their momentum in my mind because they were like it was set up to be this great chase from Mainz. They had a great run, would have been able to leave the relegation zone and then just losing out with a mistake like that. Although I have to be said, like the reaction of the Mainz defenders getting to the goalkeeper and consoling him. Like that was like that's how football is meant to be, if I'm allowed to lend that phrase.
I was going to say the Bundesliga and the DFL would be very proud of you.
Yeah. No, but that was like really, really great team spirit by Mainz. So I think they, in the long run, they can recover from that. But I think this could be a pretty, pretty good game. For Schalke.
Well, I mean, I have to say, you look at it on paper and you do go, okay, there may be fantasy points in there. My fear flow is that this is a do or die battle in the relegation, you know, the automatic relegation spots. And so many times we've seen those types of games turn into these very dull, cagey affairs where nothing really gets going in an attacking sense. And maybe if you're lucky, it gets decided by a goal. And that's my fear.
Yeah, but I don't believe it. I would agree with you if there were like 2 points apart between these two sides and like Schalke has to lose a lot by losing this game. Now it's like they have to win. It's like a draw wouldn't do them any good at all. It would be like terrible if they drew in this game. So I expect like Schalke has to do something and Arid is the first name. On my mind, I'm really happy that he's already in my squad. He would definitely a priority buy for me this week because of the Friday night game, because he can have a game where he scores 20 or more points. That's definitely possible for Amin Arid. And another guy I would like keep an eye on is William. If he's playing as a right winger, 7.1 million is his price tag. Like, pair William with Arid on Friday night, that would be a way to go. That would be really interesting for me.
Yeah, this is the thing with Schalke, you know, the new man in charge, Dimitrios Gramotsis, you know, we have no idea how he's going to line this side up. And let's be honest, Christian Kors came up with a few interesting ideas of his own and William was one of them. I just wonder whether we'll see that continue or whether Gramotsis will come up with his really, you know, his own concept and maybe that'll open up a few avenues. I mean, because the other one I was looking at, I mean, Timo Becker genuinely has actually been playing quite well at right back and getting into some very good positions, even against Stuttgart. He was someone that was providing very good service from the right wing. And I thought
You know how many points he got at Stuttgart?
No.
-4.
That's harsh. I mean, because really, you watched that performance and he was probably the second best Schalke player out there.
He's 1 million. So I wouldn't fault anyone for getting in at Timo Becker, especially since it is a Friday night fixture. So if he's in a starting lineup, you know that. You starman him. You're the only one probably in your mini league who has him. Rightfully so, I have to add. Yeah. But not the worst idea, but like, I would prefer William because he has shown that he can deliver in the Bundesliga.
And the thing is, William might go to right back and Timo Becker might drop to the bench. That's, another possibility for that.
If William is playing right back, I'm not that keen on bringing him in. Mm. But I still think it would be viable, but I wouldn't be that interested. So I want to see Becker and William playing, or Schalke playing with a 3-man back line and William playing on the right flank, that would also be nice.
Yeah. He wasn't very good against Stuttgart, I'll be honest, and he got brought off as a result. But then Schalke as a whole just weren't very good against Stuttgart, and we're expecting an improvement. And Matthew Hoppe, as a result, could be another alternative as well. I'm sure, you know, we haven't really mentioned. You don't think so?
No, I'm not interested in Schalke's striker. So I think he lost his, like he came into the Bundesliga with this great run, but that run is over. And if you look at the stats before he came to the Bundesliga, he played, I think, 16 games for the second team of Schalke.
Yep.
Do you know how many goals he scored?
I think it was just 16, two, wasn't it? It was either two or one.
One goal in the fourth tier of Germany. Okay. So it's not like he's been a prolific goal scorer.
I know.
And now he's like translating that to the Bundesliga. On the contrary, like he's scoring more goals in the Bundesliga than he did before. And I just don't think that's sustainable. And I don't see any Schalke attacker I would like give one of my precious three striker spots in my squad.
No, that's the thing. And that's why Arrieta is 100% ahead of him in the pecking order. Because, I mean, the fact is, if Arrieta, genuinely, if you think Arrieta's going to have a good game, then there's a good chance Matthew Hoppe has a good game as well. Because those two have really struck up a great understanding. And they you can just see the fact that they're constantly looking for each other out on the pitch. And so it could reap rewards. Is there?
Okay, and that's news to me, James. But you probably watched more Schalke games than I did.
I've commentated a couple of them in recent weeks, yeah. And as a result you kind of pick out those things, and they're definitely better going forward than they are at the back, but the mess ladder, as they say, the bar has been set quite low for that. Anyone on the Mainz side that you'd maybe look at a Friday night gamble? And we do need to move on because we've spent a bit too much time on this game, but
yeah but I think it's
an important one.
Merited because of the new coach at Schalke. I think it's a new situation, and that's also the reason why I personally would probably shy away from Mainz. They haven't been that great for fantasy, no matter what. And now it's like an unknown situation. And I'd rather jump on the Schalke side because they have some players. Like Mainz doesn't have an Arid with a potential. Like I think Danny Latza scored three goals once.
Kevin Stöger?
No, not even.
What about Stöger?
No, he doesn't have like these shot involvement. He doesn't win as many challenges as Arid, so I'm not interested in Mainz. So let's go to the Saturday. You're right. We probably spent too much time on Schalke.
Well, I mean, it is an important game, though. In the context of this weekend, this Friday night game may be an avenue people go to because it feels safer, because at least you know the players that are starting. And the good thing is that if they don't perform, you know you've got players that you can rotate them out for. The problem is that on the Sunday games, we don't quite have that luxury, but we will get to that later. Let's move on to the Saturday 3:30 games. Gladbach against Leverkusen is first up. Now, Gladbach have lost their last two home league matches in a row. They haven't lost three on the spin at Borussia Park since September 2015. Meanwhile, Leverkusen, they're winless in four on the road in the Bundesliga. Two out of form teams, Flo, and the question I was going to ask, is it worth steering clear of? But you've already indicated you don't think that's necessarily the case.
I mean, they're out of form in this year, and that shows in the stats, especially for Mönchengladbach, because they conceded 13.6 shots per game so far this year, and that's the fifth worst in the league. So it's worse in Cologne, it's worse in Mainz. So it's definitely, I think, on the attacking side, no matchup to shy away from your Leverkusen assets. I think that's pretty important, especially since Leverkusen, they're not hitting the back of the net, but they are creating shots. They had on average 14.3 shots at goal, and that's the third best in the league. They're just not like, they're not scoring as much as they should with taking all these shots, but in fantasy, at least they're creating points that way. And that's the reason why I would personally look at the Leverkusen side of the ball and say, yeah, it's decent, especially Leverkusen has decent matchups coming up. So if you're investing in Leverkusen, like in an Amiri, it's a longer term investment that you take. And it could be that Gladbach is falling apart after the Rose thing, and they just losing now, and there's a lot of discussion if Rose can even finish the season and so on and so forth. It will be pretty disappointing for getting out of the cup. They had like some discussion about René Maric, the assistant coach, who talked with Haaland after the match, and it did rub the supporters the wrong way because they just lost out and he was seeing like joking with a player from the opponent team. And then that, yeah, I think they have a lot of things going not their way right now.
It's a lot of baggage right now for Gladbach. That's what it is. And yeah, they keep sticking their foot in it a little bit. And yes, the Maric incident was the latest of them. And for Leverkusen, yeah, we had Diaby suspended last week. It's Bailey this week. So if you did jump on the Demiray Gray train, like Flo suggested, well, I think it was your Vegas choice, wasn't he, last week?
Yes.
Then that may not be a bad pick for this week as well, because he did, I think, pick up 7 points in a defeat, which wasn't a bad return at all.
Five points, unfortunately. So I'm apologizing.
Oh, my memory's
way
off
today. Expecting better from him, but I wasn't expecting Leverkusen to lose on home soil against Freiburg either. So, yeah.
Well, and not in the manner they did either. That was one of the big shocks of the weekend, it has to be said. And I'm a big Freiburg fan at all times. But okay, let's move on to the next game. Hoffenheim against Wolfsburg. Now, Hoffenheim, they're winless in their last 5 Bundesliga matches against the Wolves and have won just 6 of 25 all told. Weghorst, big talking point, of course, after what happened in midweek, because he missed a penalty against Leipzig in the cup last night that could have changed the game because it was 0-0 at the time. And it's now a fourth straight game in all competitions where he has not scored. So his dry spell continues. But who's your player pick from this one, Flo?
That's a tough one. I don't like this game very much as a whole. But Wolfsburg defenders always come to the rescue, and that's why I like Ottavio for 9.7 million the most. Already talked about him. Wouldn't like a guy I really like as a guy to get in your squad and leave him there is Christoph Baumgartner. I think like he's pretty good and a decent price tag in midfield. But like a game against Wolfsburg, best defense in the league right now. I don't think it's the time to bring in attacking midfielder of the opponent. So I would stay away from Baumgartner right now, but he's definitely on my short list.
Yeah, that's it. Kuhn Castells had gone 808 at 19 minutes without conceding before Yusuf Paulsen scored, and it took a deflection to beat Castells. But his record of 666 minutes without conceding in the Bundesliga is still intact. Some devilish form, you might say, there from Kuhn Castells.
I agree there. Yeah,
there's a multi pun. That's a multi pun. Anyway, let's crack on and let's move on to the next game: Frankfurt against Stuttgart, because this is a game that has the makings of a great fantasy fixture potentially. Silva has scored 7 times in his last 5 league games. Kostic, meanwhile, who we've already talked about, he has scored, assisted, or both in his last 6 Bundesliga matches in a row, and 7 of his last 8. His form is back. Meanwhile, for Stuttgart, they are the 4th highest scoring team in the Bundesliga this season on 44 goals, just 2 fewer than Eintracht Frankfurt. So, Flo, who are you picking from this game? Because, yeah, as I said, on paper, this is a heavenly fixture for fantasy owners.
Yeah, it's great. It's like Stuttgart is creating the 3rd most shots this year so far, and Frankfurt is sitting at 6. Though the difference between 4th, which is Dortmund, and 6th, which is Frankfurt, is not high. Dortmund is sitting at 14.6 and Frankfurt at 14.2. Stuttgart has 15.7. So that shows you, that's the reason why Stuttgart assets are so good in fantasy. My player pick is Filip Kostic, 18.5 million. I think what Bremen did last week was attacking over their right flank, where Kostic leaves some space. And guess what? Stuttgart has this kind of space also, and that's behind Vamangituka. And if you look in the stats, 8 goals against Stuttgart were assisted over the right flank. 4 were assisted over the left flank, so their defensive side. So over the side of Vamangituka, doubled the amount of goals on the other side. I think that sets up nicely for Kostic, and that's also a big strength of Frankfurt. They created 18 goals over the left flank, and that's the highest rate in the league. So Kostic is just a beast.
Yeah, it's all set up for a really good game in that sense. And I think we've seen that vulnerability down Stuttgart's right come to bite them in the behind already this season. So yeah, it does bode very well. Let's move on to the next game, Hertha against Augsburg. One we have touched on, Flo Big on Hertha's chances against Die Fuggerstädter. And of Augsburg's four away league wins this season, three have ended in a 1-0 win. But the fact is, they have never won at Hertha's Olympiastadion. Four draws, four losses. So that does set itself up quite nicely. It's also the Kadira derby, if you want to look at it that way. Sammy against Rani, but Sammy is injured, which is a shame. So, we don't get it on the pitch, but in spirit, at least, it's a Kadira derby. In terms of player picks, Flo, you've already mentioned one Hertha player that's a standout. Is there another one on your list?
Yeah, I'm obliged to mention Juan Córdoba, of course, who's back. Came on, I think, at halftime at Wolfsburg, looked pretty lively. And Dardai already said that Córdoba and Piontek will play up front because Cunha is injured, Radonjic is injured, and Khedira is injured. But still like the chances of Hertha in this game. Already mentioned that Augsburg is like conceding a lot of shots against. And I expect Mittelstädt and Córdoba to both have a pretty good game. But at least I think it's likely, more likely to happen than that price tag would merit. So
yeah, no, it's I'd agree with you on that. Absolutely. And I do agree that this could be a fixture that might be a kind of outlier in terms of big fantasy returns this weekend. So it could be an interesting one to dip into. Okay, final 3:30 game, Freiburg against Leipzig. Freiburg have won their last three home games in a row against Leipzig, who are coming off that DFB Pokal win in midweek against Wolfsburg. That is actually part of a 6-match winning run, 5 of those that are in the Bundesliga. The club record in Germany's top tier is 8. Are there any rotation fears for you here, Flo?
Tough to say. I would say no, because I would rather, if I were Leipzig, I would say let's win the game at Freiburg and then we'll see what happens against Liverpool and not the other way around. I think that would be sensible because you're in the running. You can go, you can pull ahead of Bayern if you win there because Bayern is playing in the evening. I think that would be pretty important to Leipzig, and that's how I would analyze the situation and say it's not like we're not having rotation risk for the likes of Nkunku or Olmo, and even Angelino, if he's match fit, I expect him to start. And up front, we don't know who's starting, so it's like it's not. I think Dörlot is coming on, and his stats look pretty good. Like the only guy who's involved in more shots on average from Leipzig than Dörlot is Nkunku, so he's second in this stat, but it's a per minute stat, and like it's not counting if he's not playing, but you don't get points if he's not playing. So I wouldn't feel confident enough that Dörlot is going to start to bring him in, but the guys you likely have in your squad, I would feel safe. The only guy who think is a risky pick you could take is Haidara, like I already mentioned before.
And let me just ask you one more question. If Julian Nagelsmann comes out tomorrow in his press conference and says Angelino is fit, is there any consideration of dropping him anyway?
Not this weekend, because I think like most other people, I have Guerrero and Sancho. And like, we'll see if we get a green line. I don't expect to get a green line of both of these guys. And then I think at least Guerrero has to go for me. And I don't see me selling Guerrero and Angelino on the same match day.
Yeah, I don't like taking joy out of other people's misery, but I do have to say I feel better about getting rid of Guerrero out of my fantasy team now, given the fact that he might miss out this weekend.
You're a bad person.
I know. It's terrible. It's terrible. I should be ashamed of myself. But this is the fantasy world that we live in, and it's called fantasy for a reason, right? That is it. Okay, let's move on to that game, Bayern against Dortmund. It is the big one, Der Klassiker. And the thing is, it has proven in the past, Flo, that there are fantasy points in this game. You might have the assumption, oh, this might not be a great game for fantasy owners. Actually, it tends to be the opposite case. Joshua Kimmich, Robert Lewandowski, Jadon Sancho, Erling Haaland have all scored big in this fixture. Lewandowski himself has actually scored 19 goals in 22 competitive meetings with Dortmund. That includes 5 braces and a hat trick as well, which is not so bad. His counterpart is, of course, Erling Haaland, the 2 great goal scorers in the Bundesliga, though André Silva would certainly certainly have a case to make in terms of who is the best out there this season. But Haaland has scored 30 times across his first 33 Bundesliga appearances. Funny enough, it took Lewandowski 67 matches to reach that same number. But I always think
there were only one striker who was better than Haaland and reaching 30 goals in Bundesliga history. You know who that was?
Oh, I don't. I mean, I'm tempted to say Klaus Fischer, but I don't think that's right.
No, it's not right.
Okay.
It's Uwe Seeler.
Uwe Seeler, there you go.
Uwe Seeler, so yeah. You should Google, like, the guys who don't know him should definitely Google him. Great guy. And I say that as a Bremen supporter, and he's a Hamburg legend, but
yeah,
one of the greatest sportsmen to ever play. Didn't leave Hamburg, although he was like he was one of the best players in the world in the late 60s and beginning of the 70s. Had a great World Cup 1970 and also 1966. That's a famous picture of him leaving the pitch, devastated after Germany lost the final against Croatia, I think.
Yeah, that 100%. That was it. That was it.
In 1966, yeah.
I feel like we should move swiftly on. Yeah, but yeah, let's just, we'll pretend it was Croatia in the final, you know. Before it's all over, we'll move on to the actual questions I've got about this game, because as I say, it has taught us in the past that there are fantasy returns in it. But I've got a question from a listener, Flo, at Joaquin_Roth. I'm not 100% sure. He says, is it reasonable to jump off Haaland and Sancho together? If so, who are you looking at for the best replacements? He says he has Lewandowski, Silva, Kostic, Yunus, Nkunku, and Musiala, and he does say, in brackets, I'll probably need to take him off as well.
Yeah, like I said, Ayrault would be first on my shopping list. I think he gives you great flexibility. He's a great pick. I don't think it's necessary to jump off Haaland. You already talked about, like, there could be attacking prowess. It's still a standalone fixture, and I don't like to have two strikers in one standalone fixture. That's just the nature of the game. So if you want to get rid of Haaland, I almost feel like my favorite pick, because you already have Silva, would maybe be Cordoba. But I don't think there's a, like, yeah, I think Cordoba is my favorite pick if you don't want to have Haaland and Lewandowski. That will be my advice.
Yeah, the hard thing with that is, of course, I think a lot of people will be looking at the situation of Haaland and Lewandowski could be their last strikers to play on the weekend. And so you do have to maybe take a bit of a gamble.
Yeah, and there's no standalone striker I really like. I think Cologne, Bremen, Bielefeld, Union, Schalke, Mainz, there are no strikers there. It's just a...
that's it. There are strikers there, Flo, but they all come with this huge amount of risk where, okay, you might get lucky. You might get lucky. You might pick Max Kruse and he might get lucky. You might pick Matthew Hoppe and he might get lucky. But the risk associated with the players that we're talking about there is so huge. It's the question of, do you want to take that gamble or would you rather stick with someone like Erling Haaland, who, you know, there's a chance he'll get involved in a goal or at least a couple of shots against Bayern? You know, that maybe that feels like the safer avenue. That is why this weekend and the fixtures are so nerve-wracking.
I think the good advice would be to have players on Sunday, but not strikers. So you are able, like if Haaland gives you zilch, be flexible enough to be able to swap him out. And then I would feel fine. If you feel like if your squad is loaded, I think you can get away with bringing in Juan Cordoba as a differential pick, but I like it's far from being I'm not sure that Cordoba is even outscoring Haaland more than 50% of the time. But yeah, so it's tough sledding up front this week because another guy like Kramaric is playing against Wolfsburg, so I'm not targeting him. For instance, Player is playing against Leverkusen, I'm not targeting him. Bailey is suspended. So, like, there's some trouble up front with reliable strikers.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Weghorst is out of form, as we've touched upon already. And that really
is... Yeah, and you know how, like, my usual stance is with Weghorst.
Yeah, exactly. Well, right now, your stance is justified, right? Given the lack of goal scoring that he's producing. But, okay, let's move on. Köln against Bremen. Let's talk about some of these Sunday fixtures and see if we can throw out a few names from it. Köln are unbeaten in 9 games at home to Werder Bremen, 4 wins, 5 draws. This encounter, funny enough, also marks the last time that Milot Rashica scored in the Bundesliga, though he has picked up a couple of assists in his last 4 games as well. Which players would you trust to rotate into your squad from this game, Flo?
Yeah, already talked about Ismail Jakobs. I think he's the best defender. If we get a word out of Kofeld that Augustinsson is good to go and will start, I think Augustinsson is also a good way to get in, because like Cologne's set piece defending is not as sound as it could be. And they're also missing Rafael Tsichos because he's suspended because of his 5th yellow. And he's probably their best defender in the air as long as Bornau is out injured. So I think there could be some problems after set pieces for Cologne in this one. But since we're not sure, Kicker is predicting that Agu will get another start. So he could be away if we're getting the confirmation that Augustinsson is out. Agu definitely could be away also to invest. But I like Jakobs because we know he's going to play. We know he's involved in all the things that's happening in the attacking side of Cologne, which is not much, I have to say. But still, as a defender, I like his role in midfield. I already talked about the 3 Cologne guys I like. It's Wolf, Duda, and Rajbichai. If we don't consider the price tag, probably Duda is the one I like the most, but it's pretty close. I think all 3 guys are viable. Wolf brings the highest risk-reward ratio in my mind, because if he's playing as a real striker, which could be possible because there's some talk of Emmanuel Dennis getting dropped to the bench, then it could be really investment that pays off. And if you want to spend more, I think Rashica is he did pick up 10 points against Frankfurt without being involved in a goal, and we see that regular from him. And I think it's just a question of time when he's getting back on the score sheet, and this could be the occasion. So I think Rashica is also a pretty good pick. Only thing is, Bremen is playing Bayern next week, so yeah, maybe not the greatest time to jump on overboard with your Bremen involvement. So one Bremen player would be enough for my taste.
Yeah, I mean, we are getting to that point where Milot Rashica also has to start putting himself back in the shop window. If he really wants to move to a bigger club, he's now got to start producing the type of form that's going to convince them to make that move, because he can't just rely on saying, hey, but last season...
Yeah, but like how many bigger clubs are there?
I know, slim pickings. I 100% know that, Flo, you know, from one of the greatest Traditionsvereine that the Bundesliga's ever seen and will ever see, you know, the birthplace of Thomas Schaaf and everything, you know, it's incredible.
No, he was born in Mannheim, but yeah, there you go.
The managerial legend that is Thomas Schaaf. Yeah, you know, that was a bit tongue-in-cheek anyway. But yeah, that's it. It could be an interesting one that we could see him finally blossom into the fantasy player we know he can be. Because right now, he's flirting with the idea. Same way that Ismail Jakobs is kind of just right under the cusp, right? He's ready to make that breakthrough. We're waiting for the game that he's going to do that. It could be this one, if your magic ball is once again serving you correctly here. But let's move on to the final game, Bielefeld against Union. Now, Armenia have claimed 12 of their 18 points this season on home soil, winning 2 of their last 5 at the Schüco Arena. For Union, I think the big question is about Max Kruse. He is their best man in terms of goals with 7. He's also got 5 assists. And of course, he got one last weekend from the penalty spot. It was like he had never left. The thing was, Flo, he didn't get many fantasy points, and he wasn't involved in a lot of shots on goal after taking a penalty.
Yeah, because you need to like run 2 to 3 meters to maybe.
Are you telling me the man that has the Nutella like jar as his icon, as his avatar on Clubhouse, doesn't run enough?
No, like he had really good. Yeah, I saw the whole game. He had really good first 15 minutes, but I think he overpaced it a bit, and then he just hang on for like 60 more minutes and got off after I think 75 minutes. There can be more to him, but like we haven't talked about Bielefeld. There's a coaching change as well. I don't like I wouldn't go to Union for this one. I know we got a question about
you can read it out. Go ahead.
Trimmel or Kruse from Hafid. He asked if I would would recommend anyone of Union, Trimmel or Kruse or someone else. Like, if you put a gun to my head, it would be Trimmel. But I wouldn't, like, my match day is finished after the Cologne-Bremen game. I won't have any involvement in this game. I don't have a feel how it's going to go with a new manager in charge for Bielefeld. And, like, I'll stay clear. Both teams are not creating a lot of shots. Union is in 11th place regarding shot creation since the break of the year and turn of the year. And Bielefeld is second to last. So it's definitely not a game I'm looking to invest in. So, like, you have one less standalone fixture in my mind on the next match day, because, like, there's not a single player I would be happy to bring in for this match.
You know what? I'm going to counter your argument, and that's mainly because I was reading in Sport Bild one of the reasons that Uwe Neuhaus, you know, his relationship with the players broke down, and one of the main reasons was that they were asking him to play more ambitious attacking football, and he kept saying no. Yeah. And I just wonder if the, you know, new head coach comes in, whether, you know, Stefan Kramer is the new head coach in charge, and you just wonder whether he might give in to the players and say, you know what, like, this, I haven't had a lot of time to work with you, how would you like to play? We'll play attacking football. And if they do that flow, I think they'll run into a fair bit of trouble against Union. And I just, for me, this is interesting because it genuinely, an episode and a weekend like this shows me the difference as a fantasy player between you and me. And that's because I look at a match day like this and I go, you know what, this is the weekend to gamble. Let's take a few gambles. Let's take a few risks. Let's throw in a few unexpected players. Let's look for some differentials. Let's go for a game like Bielefeld against Union, because not a lot of people might dip into that market. So I'm going to. And you go, you know what? No, conservative approach. I think John Cordoba is a safer route. And you're right as well. You're not wrong, right? Everything is. But I look at this and go, I fancy a gamble this weekend. And I'm looking at Bielefeld Union, and I'm looking at Max Kruse. I'm looking at Christopher Trimmel. And I'm thinking those two are great gambles that could pay off.
Yeah, it could, but I don't think it's worth the risk. And one thing is Frank Kramer, so we have to give him justice. And I mean, the story in the Sportbild, I really, like, I give zero, like, I don't think, no one could understand this decision of letting Neuhaus go. And all of a sudden, there's this article in Sportbild which all the stuff that happened in the dressing room, like, who leaked that there? You can tell who's giving reporters this story. That's the story on the point of view of the manager of Bielefeld, and they had a personal falling out. Arabi, who's the manager, and Neuhaus, who was the coach, they couldn't work together any longer. And he needs some justifications of letting Neuhaus go. And that's the reason why we see a story like that in Sportbild. I think the credibility is pretty low on this one.
Well, any report in Sportbild, you should take with a pinch of salt. Yes. Genuinely, any football media, take with a pinch of salt, because it's either PR or it's been fed to someone. Like, I 100% agree with you on that. I just thought it was an interesting indication as to maybe what we could see from that. You're right.
But what we have to be, like, we have to think about from which direction this story comes. And I'm not sure that's really how the players felt, because he was a coach that got them out of the slump in the second division. He was a coach that got them promoted champions.
I agree with all that.
Ahead of Hamburg, ahead of Stuttgart. Yeah, yeah.
But this season, there have been games that they have been far too passive, and they've not taken the game to teams. Yeah. And they've just gone there and not waved the white flag, because they're a hardworking team, but they really haven't done enough to even think about warranting a point or more.
And yeah, but maybe they just bet. And
of course, and this is Bielefeld, and they were playing way above their expectations anyway, which is why the Neuhaus move seems weird, because you're kind of going, look, you know, if you'd offered them being in 16th place after 23 matches at the beginning of the season, they'd have said, yes, thank you, we'll take that happily. You know, we're still winning with a fighting chance. So, of course, there's obviously a load of things that have gone on behind the scenes that we're not privy to as well. It's something that I talk about as a lot with fellow journalists and go, you know what, this is our profession, right? It's our job. But genuinely, most football journalists don't know 80% of what really happens in the football world or with clubs in terms of the decision making that goes on behind the scenes on a daily basis, right? We barely scratch the surface and we try and make a profession and make articles and analysis out of it. And I think a lot of people do a very good job of it, but it's a tough one. So of course, take it all with a pinch of salt. Yeah.
But there are always more than one, like there's more than one angle to most stories. And definitely there is to the Bielefeld story. And Neuhaus, like, he hasn't talked since he was released, which is like, he's shown some class, but he probably has some different stuff to tell about what happened there. So, that's just my point. I don't get the feeling that it's not the same situation with Schalke where the players got to the manager and said, please release this guy. He's not even like, he can't tell us apart. He can't like, he,
that's a different predicament.
He doesn't know the name of his own players.
Yeah. No, I know.
Come on. And you have to say the guy who appointed Christian Gross as head coach shouldn't be working in professional football ever again. That was the worst. Like the worst coaching choice a Bundesliga club has made in a long, long time.
I agree. And at the risk of, like, we could talk about that for a whole podcast, my friend. And I think we still probably wouldn't even do that justice. I think you need a good 6-hour session on Schalke to get to the bottom of all their problems. But you are right. The world of football is one that has many stories, many different angles. And so let's finish the show on one where we show a few different angles. It is our player picks. We come at it from slightly different ways. And you're going to notice that as well in our player picks this week. So Vegas choice low, who are you going for?
I'm going with Renard Rashid Sarri. I already talked him up and all the stuff he can do. If all goes right for Bremen, which is also possible, I personally believe that Cologne will get the better out of this game, but definitely can happen that Bremen gets in their rhythm and have a good game. And then Rashid Sarri is a great pick for 12.2 million.
No, I would certainly agree with that. No doubt about it, because he has been showing those glimmers that we've talked about. I have gone with the Vegas man himself, a man that likes to play in poker tournaments, and it is Max Kruse, because I think he is the definition of a Vegas choice. And I've mentioned the fact that I'm tempted by a gamble and Max Kruse is calling my name, Flo. I'm not going to lie. So that's why he is my Vegas choice this week. Super Schnepchen, who are you going for?
I'm going with Marius Wolf. So I'm staying in the Cologne Bremen game. I think that's the most interesting games of the after Saturday afternoon games, if I may call the last three games of the match day that. I'm involved for 5 million is presenting great value in my mind.
Yeah, I like the Marius Wolf pick. This time we're taking the plunge and actually picking him as well instead of just mentioning him as a potential offshoot. The player I went for my Super Schnepchen is one that I did mention in the Friday night game. It's Kevin Stöger for Mainz. He's got set pieces in his locker as well. He's picking up form. I just think he could be a bit of a budget beater differential in that Friday night game. And so maybe if you don't quite have the funds to get all the way up to Amin Arit, then Kevin Stöger could be a different avenue to go down. Banker flow? I think we already know, but...
Yeah, I'm sticking my neck out now. So if some people want to make that a bold call, they can definitely go with it, because my banker is Amin Harit, 12.2 million. I'm really excited of putting my star man on him on Friday evening. I can tell you that already.
This is your gamble. Your gamble's Amin Arit. My gamble's maybe Max Kruse.
Well,
I think
it's not a gamble. It's a banker. Well,
it's a banker,
James.
But you're right. Any Schalke involvement is a bold call right now. No doubt about it, just given the situation. But it could be one that pays off big. And we will address that, I'm sure, on the next episode one way or another.
I'll look rather smart or rather stupid on Friday evening. It's like, there's probably no middle ground there.
No, I think you're right. 100% agree. No gray area. I'll be honest, for my bank, I had two names down, but Flo then made a very convincing case with some statistics earlier on in this show. And I was going to throw out Andre Silva's name, but based on what Flo said about Stuttgart's weakness down that left-hand side and Kostic, I think then has to maybe just take the biscuit in terms of my banker pick this week. And I'm sure he's in a lot of your squads. I'll be honest, the other name was out there was Christopher Nkunku. So I've gone for three pretty big names. I've not gone for a differential with my banker quite like Float. So you've got a nice little mix of player picks there, I think. And we will leave it there for this week's episode of Talking Fußball Fantasy. Don't forget to follow us at Talking Fußball on Twitter. Give us a like on Facebook. And if you have not yet, join the Talking Fußball Fantasy League. For now, from me, your host, James Thorogood Float, and the rest of the Talking Fußball crew, auf Wiederhören.
Auf Wiederhören.